Hello and welcome to Dez and Marco.
I'm Dez.
And I'm Marco. How are you, Dez?
I'm doing fine. It's cold now, so I'm actually looking forward to my beer of today because it's a Dez classic.
Oh, no. Does it have a pun?
No.
Is it fruity?
Maybe.
Oh, God. Well, let's just dive into it. What are you drinking?
It's a Scottish brewery from Edinburgh called Vault City. And this is a beer which I think is done in partnership with another brewery called Northern Monk. I'm not entirely sure if that's UK based or not. And it's called Raspberry Banana Pecan Lassie Gose or Gose. I don't know how to pronounce it. So, yes, it is fruity and nutty.
Oh, God.
It's true. It's got pecans in it.
Oh, my God. What, could you not just have a cake instead?
I'm hoping it's sweet because technically, you know, our recording schedule's all over the place. And this is going to be my dessert for today. So it's perfect. What are you drinking?
So you said that it's getting cold and it's getting cold. It's true. So you need, you know, one of those big, heavy beers to warm you up, right?
Right.
So I have another triple beer following last week. This is the La Trappe Triple from the Koningshoven Brewery here in the Netherlands. I've already had a beer from there, and that was just a blonde. And this is doubles and triples down on, I guess, the booze. Anyway, cheers.
Cheers. Can I tell you something really stupid about this beer?
Please.
So I'm not going to go into flavor or anything, but on the can, there is a sort of the usual advisories like don't drink pregnant, how many units are in it. And one of them says shake to wake, fresh fruit locked inside. And I'm kind of thinking you shouldn't really be shaking a can of beer before drinking.
Yeah. Do you remember that Simpsons episode where Bart wants to prank Homer? And so he shakes a can of beer like an entire day, and in the end, like, the house explodes. Dez, so I mean, our listeners can't see your face, so first impressions,
it's packed full of flavor. That's all I'm saying.
And you didn't even shake it.
Nope.
Wow.
But I have got beer all over the place. It's gone everywhere.
All right, so let's start with the news. And I believe you had one little piece of news.
Yeah, we want to keep this episode brief because I know our last episode went over a little bit. And we mentioned in the episode Elizabeth Holmes, the now infamous CEO of Theranos, which was kind of a Silicon Valley darling and fell from grace and big fallout and all that sort of stuff. There is a real life court case going on about it, which I think is almost finished, but gets delayed for this, that, and the other. In the news, like, we'd literally spoken about it on the episode, and boom, it appears in the news that there is a recent Disney Plus series, like, came out literally, I think, within the last couple of weeks, called The Dropout, featuring Amanda Seyfried in the role of Elizabeth Holmes. And it's pretty good. I've watched a few episodes of it. It's kind of like intriguing, but I always take these series with a pinch of salt because they dramatize real events. So you don't know how much is fictionalized. So I don't take it too much to the letter.
They're very popular, these kind of series lately, because there's this one, there's the Dope Sick, Chernobyl.
There's the one we mentioned with Jared Leto.
Yeah, We Crashed. They're very popular nowadays. The Pam and Tommy one, these kind of fictionalized, not fictionalized, but the telling of true events via slightly fiction elements.
The bits are fictionalized, and it's a bit dangerous as how much we should take them for fact. Anyway, in another very Hollywood thing, a lot of things seem to come out in pairs, if that makes any sense. So remember, like, Deep Impact came out, and then we had Armageddon?
Mm-hmm.
Within like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Ants and a Bug's Life.
Perfect example. This series, The Dropout, it's kind of looks at the obsession that Elizabeth Holmes had with Steve Jobs.
Also another one who had two movies come out together.
Yeah, so there was the one with Ashton Kutcher and then the one with Michael Fassbender.
Yes.
Again, I didn't watch a single one of them, so.
The one with Fassbender is actually pretty good.
Okay, cool. I might give them a look just because I'm intrigued. But Jennifer Lawrence was meant to be acting the same role in a movie, I think. but she saw Amanda Seyfried's portrayal and dropped out, no pun intended, of that role. She said, it's been done. She did a great job. I've got no interest in doing that role again.
Right.
That made the news because it's not often that you hear of an actress in a role quitting.
Yeah, you usually don't. I mean, I'm sure it happens all the time, but you don't hear about it.
No, exactly. So it was just very serendipitous, if that's a word, that we were mentioning it on the last episode and then bang, in the news. I was like, what are the odds?
Yeah. So you're saying we predict the future?
No. Did you not just listen to what I said?
Wow. All right. Cool. In this episode, we wanted to talk about a TV series that we've both watched, or at least I've watched some episodes. I know that, for example, in the US, all of them are out, I think. So it's called Welcome to Wrexham, and it's a documentary, I guess. I mean, it's not fiction.
No.
And it's the story of this Welsh football club called Wrexham that gets purchased by two Hollywood stars. So Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, which you might know from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Basically, it's the story of how they buy the club, how they decide to buy a club, and then the challenges that they face, all intertwined with the story of Wrexham, the city in Wales, which is not exactly the nicest place. Its economy was based on, what was it, like industry or mining or something, coal mines, and that's no longer a thing. And so the city itself is a little bit run down.
It's not quite clear why, from the outside, two Hollywood actors, Rob McElhenney from Philadelphia originally, and Ryan Reynolds originally from Vancouver, but I think now he's based in LA, why they would be interested in buying a not even fifth-tier Welsh football club.
They explain how this club is basically in the last division before, like, last professional division. Like, under that, it's not professionals anymore.
And how close they were to falling into non-professional football.
Yeah.
And Rob McElhenney in particular is an avid sports fan. He loves the Philadelphia Eagles. If you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, there are some fantastic episodes which focus on the Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, which they do in the end. Like, in real life, they did a couple of years ago.
But I'm not sure which came first. Because yeah.
No, I know. But now, for example, there's the World Series, so the baseball, and the team from Philadelphia, which I cannot remember the name of.
The Phillies.
The Phillies? Wow, well, okay. There was no way I could have known that.
It's impossible to deduce.
They're in the World Series, and so, like, he's very active on social media about, like, going to the games. But anyway, go ahead.
Whether this is true or not, I like to believe that it's genuine. And Rob McElhenney saw in Wrexham, first of all, the opportunity to buy into a very historic club. It's the world's third oldest football club, officially registered and still ongoing. It has the world's oldest still in use international stadium.
Okay.
Very confusingly, the stadium's called the Racecourse.
Yeah. Yeah, because they used to race dogs, I think, or...
They explain it in one of the episodes,
I think. But okay, that doesn't matter.
He makes some parallels with his growing up in Philadelphia in a very sort of working class, blue collar family. And we actually see his old family home in Philly, in South Philly. You kind of see how it kind of suffered the same fate as Wrexham, as in the factories left, the communities were left with nothing. They had to make do, times were tough, and even though from the outside it looked like it's falling to pieces, and a lot of social decay is happening, the people really stuck together.
Yeah.
And he sees that in the city of Wrexham, and I think the series does really well at, yes, focusing on the football and the managerial side of things, but also focusing on the impact that this club has on the community and what it means to a lot of people in the community.
Yeah, to the extent that one of the episodes, they tell you the story of the previous owner, who was someone who basically wanted to use the club to make money, as in, like, he didn't invest much in the club. And so the citizens of Wrexham actually end up buying the clubs themselves. Everybody pitches in and they buy the club. I think this series does a very good job at showing you what this club means for the city, and like to put the club in the context of a city that's no longer as rich as it used to be.
Background aside, we get the introduction to Wrexham. I think the take-home message here is how powerful marketing is.
Yes.
So the series is good. It focuses on the football. It focuses on the community. It also does a pretty good job at explaining the culture around football, i.e. some of the more glamorous sides of it, like the tournaments and the leagues and the cups, as well as the less glamorous things, like explaining the roots of hooliganism, why hooliganism still exists, also looking at what sports mean, so like the psychological side of things, like why do people like sports, why does it bring people together. So these things peppered throughout the series really kind of makes the series quite nice to watch, as opposed to being just a dry documentary about a team, which otherwise you'd have no reason to care about.
Yeah, that's right, because they also show you the people. It's also a human story. You get introduced to a few supporters, you get introduced to a few managers, to a few players, and so you understand more of what this club means and why they've picked it as their target. But like you were saying, this is a brilliant exercise in marketing. I mean, it's not the first time that we see foreign ownership in English football. I mean,
no,
there's a new American investment fund or Middle Eastern, like,
yeah,
Emirates.
Some sovereign fund from the Middle East.
Exactly, like willing to buy clubs, the latest one being Newcastle being bought by the
Saudi Royal, what's it called? The Sovereign Fund. The Saudi Sovereign Fund has bought Newcastle United literally just recently.
Yeah, but plus I think there's very few clubs with British ownership. And you can say that also within Europe, even in Italy, there's a lot of teams being owned by American funds. But anyway, aside from that, this isn't new, but like what the difference here is that they bought a team in what, like fourth or fifth division, and they're just using, yes, money, but also marketing to advertise the team.
First of all, they had to convince, as you said, the citizens of Wrexham who bought the club. So fans bought out the club from this very disliked owner. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, from a tweet, I think it all originated, they do speak about how they started talking about this. Anyway, they decided to purchase the club, and they looked at the numbers, and they looked at the potential, and they clearly saw something, and we'll go into what that something is likely to be. And they convinced the club, like, to buy out the club. So all the fans listened to them. They spoke about what their plans were for the club. They emphasized that they want to make this a community-first club. They want it to be a self-sustaining project, and they also gave assurances that the club would not move from the current ground, the racecourse that we mentioned, for the next 25 years as a minimum.
Yeah, so they had to give guarantees to the community that it wasn't going to be just a one or two season documentary and then they would be off.
Because that's the fear when these big Hollywood people, like, will they stick to it even if the times are bad?
Yeah.
I recently read an article, and this is like the first thing which makes you realize the potential for this club. In the year before they got purchased by Rob and Ryan, the whole club, Wrexham, made £60,000 in merchandising in 1 year.
Okay.
So sales of scarves, tops, jerseys,
yeah,
that sort of stuff. And in the 1 month after it aired, the documentary, they made £350,000 worth of sales in 1 month.
Wow.
Yeah, factor in that they bought the club for approximately £2.5 million. They immediately went from being a club sponsored by a tractor trailer company, like a very local, like, buy your trailers for your tractor from whatever, to being sponsored by TikTok, Expedia, Aviation Gin, which is Ryan Reynolds' gin brand, which is now everywhere, and other, like, super international recognizable brands.
Yeah, but plus every advertisement or every, so like Rob and Ryan themselves, they use their image a lot to promote the club. And again, this is like a tiny little club in the middle of nowhere that no one's ever heard of before. Like, I find this pretty interesting.
And they go often. Like, you can watch the replays or the summaries of the games on YouTube.
Yeah.
And every now and then, you'll see Rob or Ryan in the audience.
Oh, really? They attend?
That's the appeal. Now, if you go watch Wrexham, you might see Rob or Ryan Reynolds.
That's cool. That doesn't really show up in the series, or at least in the episodes that I've seen so far.
So going on to why this is a genius move, you do get glimpses in the series of how much money they're spending. I think there's one scene where they're speaking to the new appointed general manager of the club, who seems to be a really nice guy, and he says that they had set themselves a target for the wage bill for each year to be £1.5 million, and they'd already gone over it to like £2.3 million.
Okay. And there's this other episode when they completely redo the pitch. And yeah. After one match, they understand that it doesn't work or that it's flawed or whatever. And they have to do it again. And it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars or pounds or whatever it is. It all comes out of their pocket. Like,
especially in that first season. But then I found out that they got paid approximately $800,000 per episode. It works out.
Oh, okay. So they're not producing the episode themselves?
I think they are producing it, but it's obviously sold and being aired. Like, they get money from airing it.
Okay, that's brilliant then.
Yeah, exactly. So they put their money in, but they use their contacts to sell it.
Yeah.
And that covers the costs.
And that pays for some of the acquisition cost, I guess.
Yeah, it if will not definitely all of it. Subsidize it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's brilliant. But then I was like reading also that the sales of merchandise went up dramatically, but also they went on social media. They went on Twitter from 45,000 to over 200,000 followers. Instagram, 27,000 to over 200,000. TikTok, they didn't have a TikTok account. Now they do. Also, they're sponsored by them. 459,000 followers. As in, like, this is a club no one knew. And now everybody knows, possibly even people outside of, or people who don't necessarily follow football.
Because their profile has been increased, you will hear Wrexham now in sort of general conversation, talking specifically about the football. And just recently, I think on November 6th, Wrexham were tied against a team called Oldham in the FA Cup, which is the cup where every single professional team in the UK plays against each other until there's only one champion. So it's the oldest football tournament in the world. And this is a match which in any other circumstance would have just happened without any sort of cameras even watching it.
Yeah.
And instead, Rob and Ryan and whatever, they managed to get the rights for this match to be broadcast on ESPN. And it was broadcast nationally in the UK, which, okay, that's kind of understandable, but it's not, you know, there are lots of other matches going on at the same time. So it's estimated that a match between Wrexham and another random team got exposed to 100 million viewers.
Wow. Still, it's a club that not really many people knew about last year.
No, exactly. And my personal belief is that it's clearly not a top tier club. And, you know, you have your favorite club. I have my favorite football club. What I think they've done is they've bought a club in a part of Wales, which is small and very proud. So obviously anyone from around there will be a fan of Wrexham.
Yeah.
But more importantly is that it's become maybe everyone's second favorite team.
Yeah, because they also show you. So because the documentary does a good job in showing you the human aspect of it. So the people that work there and the struggles they go through and the challenges they face. And then plus, I mean, Rob and Ryan are pretty likable. So
very likable.
It's very difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult not to like them. So you do kind of support their team as well.
And now here comes the potential negatives. And personally, I don't have any negatives about the series. I think it's very fun to watch. If you kind of like, let's say, ground level football, this is entertaining. But it's also really entertaining because Rob and Ryan clearly know what they're doing behind the camera. Rob's sense of humor, which is very typical of That's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Oh, sorry. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It really shows in his behavior. So he has kind of like a rivalry with Ryan Reynolds, but Ryan Reynolds is obviously way more famous and has way more Twitter followers. And Ryan Reynolds is that annoyingly charming and suave individual. So he'll go watch a match with, you know, on his own, and you'll see him TikTok on a plane going, yeah, I'm going to go watch Wrexham and I'd like to thank Expedia. And Rob is just angry going, I could have been doing that. You know, I can say Expedia 100 times. Expedia, Expedia, Expedia. You know, I just love the fact that he's so angry.
Yeah, he really suffers the fact that Ryan Reynolds is by far way more popular.
Yeah, he really suffers it. I did enjoy how Rob will every now and then organize massive parties for him and his friends to watch his club, and the club will play badly. And he'll be so pissed. He literally uses the word, I'm so pissed. I brought all my friends, all my family, 0-0. It was embarrassing.
But one thing I want to say about the series itself is I feel like when I'm talking to people about it, it's the same as when I was telling people about Ted Lasso when it first came out, because a lot of people told me, or a lot of friends replied something like, yeah, but I don't like football. I don't care about this series. And then they watch it and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's kind of the same. So yes, football is the main topic, or it's everything revolves around the football and a football team. But it's, I think the series does a very good job in explaining to you what's happening, like even what's happening on the pitch. So if you're not into football, you can still follow, as in there's no extremely complicated concepts that people might not understand. And they really make a big effort to try to make you understand.
So just before we go on to reviewing our beers, one final slightly off topic thing I want to say is that last Halloween, the one just passed.
Yeah.
I went out with some friends, and one of my friends' partners kind of did this Deadpool-themed costume. Okay. And he had a mask of Ryan Reynolds. And by certain events in the night, I inherited Ryan Reynolds' face. And it made me think, oh, we should have gone as Rob and Ryan and Wrexham kits. Yeah. Just because it is that popular now. And I looked on the website, on the official Wrexham store, everything is sold out.
Really?
Absolutely everything is sold out.
Wow, good for them.
Exactly. So it's just a little anecdote of how this has impacted the club.
Okay. But, okay, you know what? Did you watch the entire first series?
Yes.
Okay, so it's, I don't get why here in the Netherlands, they release one episode every week. I don't get it. But anyway, spoiler alert, do they get promoted at the end?
Well, it's not really a spoiler because you can look at Wikipedia and it'll tell you.
Yeah, now. Okay, true, but I'm not gonna.
That final game, so they finished the league second.
Okay.
In the National League, which is the fifth tier of English football. I say English, but it also includes Wales and the teams which are eligible. Only the top place team is guaranteed promotion.
Yeah.
And then between the second and the sixth, they go into a playoff style knockout.
Yeah, okay.
And they won the first match of the knockout, but then the second one, which if they had won, they would have been promoted.
Yeah.
It was 4-4, and they got a goal like in the 94th minute against them. So they lost 5-4 in extra time. The minutes at the very end.
Yeah, stoppage time. Yeah. Oh, that's so bad.
This is the toughness of owning a sports club. Like, even if you put the money in, results are not guaranteed. So we'll see how things pan out. At the moment, I think they are beloved by the people of Wrexham. I think the team has shown incredible improvement under their ownership and, let's say, this new era. They've clearly put a lot of time, money into the club, and they've done an incredible job of raising the international profile of this club. To the point they're like everyone's second favorite team now.
Yeah,
okay. But results aren't guaranteed. So if things continue to not go their way for several seasons, will people still be in love with them and the club? So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, okay. If you've got time to learn about a little city in Wales and you have a subscription to Disney Plus, Welcome to Wrexham is highly recommended. Speaking of highly recommended, would you say the same for your beer?
I would say approach with caution.
I knew it.
So, you saw my face. That first sip, this thing is really, really tangy. It's got crazy flavors, banana, raspberry, pecan. But the raspberry shines through. Like, it's that tangy raspberry flavor. And at first I was like, whoa, not what I was expecting.
Okay.
But you know what? I can't get enough of it.
Wow.
It's slightly sour. It's incredibly fruity. It's not for everyone. I would argue it's not even a beer. Like, you don't taste the beer. It's like raspberry and a slight creamy flavor. And it's tangy and it's like sour. It doesn't taste of beer, but it's nice.
Okay. I think this is the first time that you find an experimental beer and you actually like it.
Like is a very strong word.
Okay.
So, as I said, approach with caution. I don't think I can recommend this to everyone. If you want something very raspberry flavored and sour,
yeah,
then this might tick those boxes, but it's something to try. It's not something to drink every day.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I think I'm going to be... No, I'm not going to be generous. I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of a 6-pack.
Oh, all right. 3.5.
How was yours?
It was very good. This is the Trappist Triple from La Trappe. And yeah, it's pretty heavy. I mean, I'm feeling it. And I just had dinner even. But no, it's strong, but it's like a blonde, like with a full flavor, a little bit sweet. I kind of like it, so I'm going to say 4 out of a 6-pack.
Not bad. I don't think we need to give this episode much of a summary. We briefly mentioned some news related to a comment we made in our previous episode about Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos, and there's basically a TV series out now called The Dropout on Disney Plus, which documents those events, and there was supposed to be a movie with Jennifer Lawrence, but she's pulled out following the excellent portrayal by Amanda Seyfried in the aforementioned The Dropout. And also on Disney Plus is a incredible true story of how two Hollywood A-listers have decided to buy a old, historic, but failing club in Northern Wales called Wrexham, and how they're transforming the club and the city, basically portraying it on a very interesting documentary style series. I heavily recommend it. How about you, Marco?
Yes, I think it's pretty fun. You should watch it.
On that note, a much shorter episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I'll speak to you next time.
Talk to you next time, Des. So you're saying we predict the future?